Hey everybody, welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we're back again. Corey, I am tired?
I would be shocked if you weren't.
Period. Honestly. Exclamation mark. Yeah, it's been, feels like just constant. Just so much house stuff. We've been laying bathroom tile all weekend, that like Saturday disgusting. And Sunday, just bathroom tile. And it's like, we're learning. Like, my wife's grandfather used to be a contractor, so he's helping out. He's teaching us. So he's, you know, we're doing it right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's such a, he's limited because he's in his 70s now. So even though he's like, has a lot of knowledge, he's not, you know, he has to rest, he has to whatever, because his, you know, knees are being funky or, so, you know, we're not just like cranking through it or anything, but we're learning. Today we were doing another bathroom, and this bathroom we chose, my wife chose that we were going to do herringbone pattern, which was
fun.
Yeah, out of like small brick tiles. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's beautiful, but good God, that is it's a nightmare.
Yeah. Yes.
So we've been doing that, but you know, Corey, you know, outside of that, playing games when I can, you know, not when I'm not too tired. Yeah. How about you, Corey? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just wrapped up some D&D for the evening. Been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 16, mm-hmm. Which we'll get to. We're gonna get to the C track of today's pod.
Oh yeah. The flip side. The flip side. Flip it over twice. You get
the second side. Disc.
Yeah.
Let's see. Went to Nashville last weekend with my parents.
Oh, yeah. I do remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
How was that? Sorry.
A bit
I just keep interrupting.
You're good. That? No, a bit overrated, Nashville. Sorry if you live in Nashville. It was wonderful to spend time with my parents and my brother. It was just like, I think this is definitely a city where everyone goes for their bachelor and bachelorette parties, and I think it's a perfect atmosphere for that. But to go and hang out with your parents, I'm like, I don't know, this is quite the move. But we went to like the Country Music Hall of Fame. Very, very cool. Really enjoyed that. We saw the Parthenon from the famous movie Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Is that the Lotus Casino hotel place?
No, that's where they fight the Hydra.
Which place was this again?
The Parthenon is like a remake.
Parthenon. Yeah.
It was neat. Trying to think, what else did we do? I mean, yeah, we just kind of walked around, saw the city, ate some Nashville food. It was good. Played Tears of the Kingdom while I was there. Might do a brief Kingdom Minutes at the end. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Love it. Yeah, Corey. A lot of stuff this week. Even though life's happening, games are happening too. Comes at you fast. We didn't have, but I think it happened like as we had already recorded, but maybe it was like right before the episode dropped. But yeah, Nintendo Direct happened. Yep. We haven't talked about that. Final Fantasy 16 came out. We haven't talked about that. Corey, you've finished Jedi Survivor. Haven't talked about that. Mm-mm. So yeah, we got stuff to talk about. Nintendo Direct, Corey, that happened last week. And it was a lot. It was I say that from a couple of different angles. It was a lot in the sense that it was just quantity wise, there was a lot of stuff.
A lot of Mario.
It was also a lot of Mario. And it was a lot of like a lot relative, like pretty big hitters. And it was also a lot, and then it was a lot of, you know, You know, it's Corey, how did you feel about the Direct? This is, I mean, Nintendo's, like, I guess, pseudo E3 equivalent Direct, since they haven't had anything else close by. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was, like Nashville, underwhelming. This was the first Direct we've had where there wasn't a Tears of the Kingdom on the horizon.
Yeah.
Or a, really, for me, also, like, the idea of, like, oh, and maybe another Fire Emblem. There was no Pokemon, nothing like that. So I'm like, okay, like, what?
Well, there was Pokemon. There were two Pokemons. Yeah,
technically, yes, there was. But I knew there wasn't going to be a mainline game, if that made sense. Yeah. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, a lot of this is just announcements from other games. But I did think some of the big swings from the Direct are big swings. Like Super Mario RPG. So excited for that. The remake that they're doing. And once that was announced, I'm like, once that was announced early in the Nintendo Direct, I'm like, oh, wait, what else is coming? Kind of a thing. Then nothing else really came. But still, that grabbed my attention, and that looks so fun. I am sold. Hook, line, sinker.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that struck me out of the gate, was that, like, there was a lot of stuff that, which, I mean, it's, you kind of, you understand it, like, whenever everything's landing around the same time and stuff's cross-platform, you're more than likely to see this stuff kind of crossing over. But yeah, there was a fair bit of stuff that, like, we had already seen. We had already seen Sonic Superstars. We had already seen Metal Gear Solid Volume 1 Master Collection. Like, you know, it's cool that that's coming to Switch and everything, but those were, you know, it was just kind of, I think there was the assumption, there's going to be a new Sonic game, it's probably going to be on Switch. So that wasn't, like, a huge thing. Also, some of the stuff, like, you know, Corey, I love the Batman Arkham games, but
they're so good.
I was not excited to, because the Wii U launched with Arkham City. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just difficult for me to get super excited. Like, whenever I saw the Arkham thing pop up, I was like, I feel like the trailer was great. Mm-hmm. The trailer was on point. They really, like, you know, they were hitting it. But I was like, I mean, Arkham Asylum came out in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in some places it's free. Like, yeah. I mean, I think with PlayStation, like, if you even just have Extra, like, it's free. And even if you just have base PS Plus, you have Arkham Knight, at least. Like, I mean, that was weird. Persona 5 Tactica also showed up. Just Dance 2024, for some reason, also showed up. I don't know. I feel like that can just release, and the people that want it will get it, and the people that don't will never have to see it. But, you know. But there were also a couple of, like, even outside of the big heavy hitters, there were a couple of things in there that, like, stood out as being like, oh, this is cool. One of the noticeable ones, Headbangers Rhythm Royale. Looks like Fall Guys. It does. But with pigeons, and it's a rhythm game. Looked kind of cool. Like, whenever I was looking at it, I was like, okay, I can dig on a battle royale where you're doing, like, rhythm game little mini games. That's kind of cool. I've never been, like, a huge, huge person for it, but, like, WarioWare, they have a new WarioWare. Yes. I think it's, you know, it's like, that's a big deal for some people. Super cool. Dragon Quest Monsters.
That does look very neat. I mean, it looks Persona/Pokemon-esque in Dragon Quest format. But
yeah,
I'm in. Sold.
Which, have you ever played Dragon Quest Monsters previously?
No.
Yeah, they, this, I mean, to my knowledge, this would be the third Dragon Quest Monsters. The first one came out on DS. So it has like some legs, and from the people I've never played, I own the first one that I got like secondhand because I would like to play it, but never have. But yeah, I mean, the people who have played it really love it, and it is supposed to be kind of like a, you know, Pokemon-esque Dragon Quest sort of thing. Super cool. Yeah, there were a few other things like the GameCube Pikmin games coming to Switch. New Detective Pikachu coming in the fall, which I'm super, like, I mean, if it's good, like I remember whenever the first Detective Pikachu came out, it was a lot of like, it was more of a visual novel is kind of the approach that people, like it didn't have, I think people were hoping for these like, you know, hard puzzles or whatever. And I think it was pretty like straightforward. And I think maybe even some people called it boring. If it's engaging, I'm all about it. But you know, that comes out in October. So we'll see. The biggest stuff though, Corey, you mentioned the meat, two big meaties, coming out of this direct, Super Mario RPG, a remake of it, and Super Mario full remake, which is a full remake in the graphical sense.
Yes.
It's such a difficult thing to kind of like have to preface nowadays. Now that things like Shadow of the Colossus, that's a remake, but it's just a graphical remake. Final Fantasy VII remake is a remake, but it's also a different game.
Yes. And like, so Resident Evil 4 remake. Same game, sort of. It's
about halfway between. So this is a remake, graphically, to my understanding. There could be other stuff, but like, you know, I don't know. Do you have a history with Super Mario RPG, Corey?
I have no history of Super Mario RPG, other than I've heard it's great.
Yep.
And that people adore it. And I'm so excited that they're doing a re-release of it.
Yeah.
Or a remake. Yeah.
I played Super Mario RPG a ton whenever I was a kid. That was what led me to be so excited for things like Paper Mario, whenever that, like, you know, that was a huge kind of transition point for me. Because, I mean, I grew up, you know, Super Mario RPG originally came out on the Super Nintendo back in the 96. But it was a Squaresoft game at the time, pre-Square Enix. And I mean, Squaresoft, I mean, it was developed by the same people that were putting out, like, Final Fantasy VII and Chrono Trigger. I mean, like, so, I mean, if you were into, like, JRPGs from that SNES era, this was like, I mean, it was, you were basically playing Final Fantasy, but with Mario characters. But it's one of those things that carried over into the initial Paper Marios, is that like it had this really robust cast of other characters because like in it, I don't think Luigi's in it. You know, Yoshi, those characters aren't really in it, but like Bowser plays a role. Princess Peach plays a role, but like some of the big main characters, like the big, antagonist in it is a group called like the Smithy Gang, and they're just like, they're trying effectively, like they overthrow Bowser and they're like, you're out of here, we're taking over the world, and you team up with Bowser and you help them get back into power. But like, you know, you're playing, you have companions, this guy named Mallow who's like lives up in the clouds, there's Geno, if you've been in on like Super Smash Brothers, like rumors as like new characters were coming out, there was always like, you know, I hope it's Geno. I hope it's, you know, I hope he's the new character that's being announced. That's Geno. He's only ever appeared in Super Mario RPG. He's there. He's a puppet. He's like Pinocchio, but he casts magic.
Good for
kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah, it is such a, it is a weirdo RPG in the Mario world. I mean, you're doing all of the, like, I mean, I say there's no Yoshi. There's Yoshi. You ride Yoshi. He's just not your like companion character and stuff. But like, you're doing all of those things. You're going to towns and you're doing all the Final Fantasy stuff, but it's Mario. And I think that that's one of the most surprising things is like, whenever I saw that come up, I was like my initial reaction right away was, isn't this game already on the Switch? Like, isn't it already on Super Nintendo, like, online? You know, like, it didn't... Mm. I was feeling like that was the direction. They were announcing, oh, it's coming to Nintendo Switch Online. And I was like, isn't it already here? And then they do the thing where it switches over to new graphics. And I was like, oh, was not expecting this. Because whoever expects, like, the niche RPG from, you know, 30 years ago, almost, to all of a sudden just be... kind of like Alive, you know, who would have expected that would have come out and people would have.
I think that's the thing with again. Nintendo right now is they're not doing a lot of things that people want or expect, AKA Chrono Trigger, AKA bringing all the old Pokemon games back. I can go on forever with this, they are doing a lot of things like this where it's like, oh, we're doing the Super Mario RPG, like remaking. Everyone's like, whoa. That's a blast from the past. I'm so excited for it. So like, they are doing things right. And this is so cool. I'm so excited for it, but it's also so annoying when I was like, okay, I'm excited, but who was really asking for this? I'm not mad, but you know, I was asking for this Nintendo. I'm getting this. I'm not mad about it. But at the same time, I would love a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from the same, I mean, I would imagine from the same place as like the Link's Awakening remake, where it was like, I mean, it was virtually just kind of like the same game, but with a huge recoat. And I think that that's kind of the same thing is like they're modernizing these games that potentially like, I mean, they're available elsewhere. Somewhat, but like they're essentially like drawing in a new crowd because like Link's Awakening, you know, new like kids.
I played it for the first time this year.
Right. I mean, they're looking at like new Zelda games and they're like, I'm going to play this like black and white, like the top down thing that's like super hard. Like I have to go into the items every time I'm trying to like switch this thing on. Like, you know, it's not a game that is like super friendly for somebody to come in and play if they don't already have a little bit of that nostalgia baked in. And Super Mario RPG is kind of the same thing. Like, it's kind of ugly. It don't look great. It looks a little weird and a little creepy. And so, like, and it's just because of, like, the art style at the time. And, you know, I imagine doing this and bringing it back really does kind of like open the door for people and be like, whoa, because then, I mean, probably it's always hard to understand like Nintendo's strategy, quote unquote, but thinking of it from that perspective where it's like, okay, well, if people, this could be like people's first foray into like Mario RPGs. And what if they got into like Mario and Luigi series, and what if they like, you know, I mean, it opens this door for them to then lean into these other franchises. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's super cool. Yeah. I mean, it is a thing where it's like, there could have been a ton of other things that came out that, people could have been equally or more excited for, but like, it's one of those out of left field things that's super cool to see.
Yes, I agree. No, I have no complaints other than it's simply why, like, you know, how do we land here? So not mad though. Not mad.
And then the other one was Super Mario Wonder. Super Mario Bros. Wonder, 2D Mario game that looks an awful lot like. It looks like it's styled in the new Super Mario Brothers style, which I guess is kind of their like their direction now. Is they are just kind of like, which is fine. But I mean, like all of their, because I mean, I think all of their 2D games since like the DS Wii era have kind of like been in that style. Yeah. So I can say like I appreciate the fact that they're not. That they're dropping the new Super Mario Brothers moniker, like that they're just straight on just leaning into this is Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Yes. But yeah, Corey, how would you describe Super Mario Brothers Wonder?
It looked so. I mean, we talked about before. I mean, I just don't have the greatest history of Nintendo in my play. Yep. That's not in my like or dislike. It's my actual like game catalog.
Yep.
Like, never really played really any Mario games other than Sparks of Hope. So as someone who is gonna pick this up, but just because it is a black hole in my gaming hemisphere, I was curious about it. I'm like, okay, what is this doing that is different from other games? Even though I haven't played them, I do understand the general gist of it. And it looked pretty straightforward until I got to the wonder thing at the end,
yeah,
which seems to be a power up that kind of has, it's kind of a random, I guess, thing. Is kind of what it looked like, where, oh, anything can really happen. Oh, here's Mario as an elephant. And it looks like it's going to add some fun flavor to levels of a bit of uncertainty in a game that's very certain of you from point A to point B.
Yeah, it, yeah, so the wonder aspect, at least going off of the trailer, effectively is like, it looked like a flower or something that kind of pops in the world. You yep. grab it and it basically kind of enters Mario into like a fever dream where like the pipes are like turning into caterpillars and they're like scrunching up, and now there are a bunch of hippopotamuses everywhere, and like Mario's getting all stretchy and he's like really tall, and yeah, he can, there's a power up where he turns into like a spiny ball and one where he turns into mm-hmm. an elephant. And so I wonder if it's, because it almost kind of seems like it's an alternate world state where it's almost kind of mm-hmm. like you can play through the world, you can play through the game like legitimately, like just play yep. through the level. But then there's like this alternate state where you can go into it, and it basically like creates an alternate version of that level where there are these other collectibles and these other maybe paths and stuff, which I mean is kind of a, that in and of itself is kind of a standard of 2D Mario games where there are like secret paths and other ways of like exploring the world that take you to, you know, you have to find this specific pipe to find this specific exit to the level that will actually take you to these other levels that you couldn't have gotten to otherwise. And so it's possible that that could be the direction they're going with it, is just like, you know, there's, it may not be a thing where it's just like all of this stuff constantly, like all of this fever dream weirdness constantly. It may be a thing where you can go through the level just straight up normal, avoid this, avoid that like wonder thing and just go through the level and do the thing. And then this like makes it weirder or harder and like gives you additional collectibles, maybe. I don't know. Or it may play into it really hardcore where it's every single level is like that and it's really leaning into it heavy. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's super, looks really pretty, looks yes. really cool.
Yes.
I, you know, unfortunately, like, would have loved a 3D Mario. That's where my head was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll take a 2D Mario. It's here. It looks good. 2D Marios do not disappoint. They're historically bangers, so I think it's going to be good regardless. But, yep. Yeah, it's a little difficult to just know, like, on the outset, oh, this is what it is. Like, I think with the new wonder aspect, it's, you know, we'll have to kind of see a little bit more to actually understand what, how much of that's actually in the game. But
yeah, no, I mean, it was a great trailer. And at, what was the, it had a release date of later this year? What was it, November? Am I making it up?
No, yeah, yes, October.
October. Sorry, I was close.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that Nintendo had, with it, pretty much all their stuff in this lineup was like, it's coming either later this year or early next year. And I'm like, I really appreciate this. This makes me excited to play this game as well. This isn't like a Breath of the Wild 2 where they announced it 5 years ahead of time. Here, 2D Mario coming out later this year.
Yeah.
It's all you. And like I just said earlier, I have to pick it up. I don't have to. I should pick it up, and I'm going to pick it up. And I'm very excited to. I did play the original Super Mario All-Stars on Switch.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. So I guess I have played Mario games in that 2D style. But for a new release, it's coming. I don't know. I'm in my Nintendo era, Chris. With all my Zelda, here comes Mario.
You should be. Realistically, it may not happen immediately, but Nintendo's coming out with a Switch 2 at some point, and that thing's gonna hit.
It's still like the best selling console right now. Why would they?
Yeah, but eventually, outside of the main internal teams, it's pretty easy to tell at this point that games are struggling to to run I don't know necessarily, but it's different from whenever the Switch first released. It was some of the games weren't as pretty as PlayStation alternatives, but it was the console was snappier. It felt like things were just, it was on top in a lot of ways. They were optimizing the system to allow for these things, but it's now, there are a lot of games on it that some of it comes down to bad ports, but some of it even comes to Pokemon Scarlet and Violet being running like legitimate ass. Mm-hmm. And Pokemon doesn't come from a first party studio, but a studio that is very knowledgeable of Nintendo hardware. And so, it's one of those things where it does feel like it's getting a little long in the tooth at this point. It's 6 years old. And that was, it was 4 years between the Wii U and the Switch. It was, five or six between the Wii and the Wii U. So, it's it tracks that we're about there. You're right. It's not like the Switch is slowing down. They need that step to, they need some of that power. Which again, doesn't need to be like a PS5. They just need to, the fact that it, in the trailer for Arkham City, the fact that it looked rough considering the game is
FPS.
The game is 14 years old. The fact that it looked rough, that was already that's not great. So, they need just a refresh. Say all that to say, 3D Mario probably launching on Switch 2.
That's holiday next year is dropping.
Maybe it's possible. I don't know, Corey. Anything else in the direct? There was some other stuff. There's a new Princess Peach game that's coming out in 2024. There's a remaster of the 3DS Luigi's Mansion game coming out on Switch.
Pokemon DLC. Things.
Yep. Pokemon DLC, Mario Kart, new Wave.
Yep.
DLC. I have the new waves of Mario Kart, but I have effectively decided that I'm just saving them all and not playing any of them until they're all out, and then just pretending it's Mario Kart 9.
Yeah.
So
it basically is.
Yeah. So that's where I am right now on it. I'm just collecting those and just waiting until it's out. Corey, there's a lot of cool stuff, a lot of, not like mind-blowing stuff, but it's fine. It is. It's what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Corey, you have been playing a lot of stuff. I've also been playing some stuff, but you finished Jedi Survivor.
Yes, I have. This is the follow-up to our episode we did, 3 weeks back now on it. Okay. Maybe 2 weeks. I can't remember. But I have finished it, and it was a, I'm trying to think, kind of a bit of a mixed bag at the end. Okay. I still think it's a, like, maybe a light 7, I would give.
A light 7? Ouch.
Mm-hmm. It's mainly, so from a visual and graphical standpoint, it was outstanding. From a gameplay perspective, also outstanding. I think the story, really good. I think where I kind of, because I was talking with my friends about it, and it really is only a two-planet game, which is, like, okay, I think the worst part about it. There's really only two explorable planets. Everything else is, like, very small exploration areas. Sorry if this is a bit spoilery, but I think it's kind of good to know going in.
Yeah.
I mean, the two planets that are open for exploration are dense. Like, there is so much stuff to find and to do in those. It is a pure, like, quality over quantity for sure in that matter. They went all in on the two focal planets. I kind of wish there was just a one more, maybe, because both are very deserty, kind of same topography and, like, what you're looking at. Visually stunning, don't get me wrong. But it's really those, and then you kind of beat bop around, like, four other very small spots that one of them you can't even go back to. So all that to say, it was just kind of like, okay, $70 PS5 game, looks next gen. I had a couple bugs. I didn't really have a ton of game crashing stuff. I did pick it up a decent bit after release. But I was just kind of like, I think by the end, a little underwhelmed by how much they offered. I was like, okay, expecting a bit more. But at the same time, it was a short release window between Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. I'm like, maybe give it like another year or two and just offer a bit more. Now, okay, with that complaint out of the way, I think it is leaps and bounds combat-wise better than Fallen Order. There is a boss fight 3/4 of the way through the game, Chris.
Okay.
It is, one, insanely difficult. I am astounded that they put in this difficult of a boss fight on, like, the normal fight for a story-based game. This is, it was, I it took me like 8 tries, which isn't saying, like, you would think, you would, with how I'm talking about it, it would be a lot more, but I was sweating, like, trying to take this thing down. Don't want to spoil it at all, but I think it only took me, like, so few tries, because I went into full Dark Souls mode, like, full Elden Ring, and it was like, okay, this game, like, really flirts and is, like, is very much inspired by, like, Souls combat. This boss fight, you could put in, like, Sekiro, and it wouldn't feel out of place.
Yeah.
It was electrifying, like, taking him down. I mean, it is, I'm talking, like, full, like, I have to go parry, dodge, parry, parry, like, dodge kind of a sequence. This isn't, like, it had me, like, fully bent over, just like, oh my God. I mean, and I got my teeth kicked in, like, multiple times. I beat him out of luck, where I just happened to stagger him at like the perfect opportunity, because I was out of healing packs and was, like, super low. But I got, like, a great parry in and, like, a perfect time dodge where I could get in, like, an extra hit essentially, and staggered him to where I could toss in, like, 3 huge hits. Because also, without spoiling it, it adds a stance, because the game goes by stances, that makes it so Souls-like in combat that I could never go away from it, just because of how well it played once you got it down. But that one boss fight, and if anyone who's played it, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It was thrilling beating him. Like, it's a full, like, 2-phase fight, like, and throws all the punches, everything. if you need to play just to that point because it's so good.
Yeah. And just to step in for a moment while I'm thinking about it, like, you know, I'm even aside from like the light seven kind of review, like, you know, I am interested in playing Survivor from that perspective of it just being like, oh, well, it's in most cases better Fallen Order. And like Fallen Order, I liked, but it was that thing where it felt like it was lacking some of that potential. And like everything that you're saying seems like it still isn't quite there. But the fact that it's just better is still in my mind like, okay, I can still get behind that. Like I can get behind the idea of it as long as it's not worse. as long as it's just like it's an improvement, it's a step forward. I'm happy about that. I was not offended by Fallen Order. I'm trying to keep it straight in my mind. Survivor, Fallen Order.
You're good.
I totally would be down to, especially, I mean, if it has some Sekiro level boss fights, I'm there for it.
The game kind of goes downhill after that fight, in my opinion. Okay. Cause with its remaining boss fights, and the ones before, this was the only one that really like let you test your mettle. There was no like odd story element or like when in a lot of story games, they have like bosses that have a kind of like that gimmick, for lack of a better word, where it's just like, oh, you can't beat them just because the story isn't letting you, or it's not letting you like fully whale, like time everything because you're like that good at the game without it, like just pushing you away, XYZ. You know what I'm talking about, where it's like a game has like it designed where you can't just automatically like take them down. This was the only fight in the game where it like met you wherever you're at. It's like, no, come at me. Like, show me what you have. There's no cheese, no and buts or and oh wait. It was just full on. If you can beat them, it's because you can beat them. And I found that incredibly satisfying. Cal Kestis's journey, I do want to see more of, because it is a wonderful story of how I think I described before, where it's him really trying to figure out what it means for himself to be a Jedi. Not what it means to be a Jedi, but what does it mean for Cal Kestis to be a Jedi? And what kind of Jedi does he want to be? And the story itself is really good. It takes itself in very dark and interesting places. And I think he answers a lot of questions himself, but it's also like there's plenty of room for a third game, and they've said it will be a trilogy of games. So I'm so excited to see like what comes next for him because of where he ends the second game at. And his journey that he goes through throughout the second game. I really dug it. It's, again, one of those things where it's like, okay, this is much better than Fallen Order. And this is everything you want in a sequel. There, I did have kind of my, like, worries of, like, okay, there isn't all that much to do in this game. Like, there's the main planet Kobo where there's so much. Then you have another planet that's fairly like there's plenty to do, but then there's not much outside of that. I'm like, bring the third one in, build on everything you've done in the last two, and just, it doesn't have to be more for the sake of more, but with how good those two main planets are, I'm like, I know you could do maybe one if not two more of a similar scale and size and still like keep this narrative that you're going for. Yeah, I thought it was really good. It did have a trope and towards the end of the game that I'm like, why are we doing this kind of a thing? Like,
okay.
Whenever you play it, I'll like a character shows up. I'm like, of course they're here because it's Star Wars. Of course this character shows up kind of a thing. It's like, this is kind of silly. Not silly, but it's just like overplayed, I guess is the way to put it. Okay. Where it's just, it's just like,
okay, Jar Jar Binks.
No, but it's just one of those things where like, I know how this ends. Like, why am I doing this? And I know how this ends, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I digress. Light 7, I did really enjoy it. I think there's a lot of things it can still improve on. I think there's a lot of things it did so well. Yeah. So good. But also could be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Can's everything though, Corey.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Tears of the Kingdom is a hard 10. The hardest.
Yeah. That is strong. The
stiffest. Strong 10. Yeah. Yes. And do you know what else is up there and may gasp, Corey, may have places for improvement, but we'll talk about that. Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, this game goes so hard, Chris.
So
hard.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 16, the 42nd game in the Final Fantasy universe, probably. I don't know. I don't have a list in front of me.
It's probably in the 20s with all of the tactics and all that stuff.
More than that. See, now I want to know. But Corey, yeah, you've played a lot of Final Fantasy 16.
A lot of Final Fantasy
16. I have played a bit of Final Fantasy 16, less than you. I thought I had played a good bit, but then I like checked your trophies and I was like, nah, he's a lot farther than I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, while I look up a comprehensive list of all of the Final Fantasy games that mm-hmm. have ever released, Corey, tell us about Final Fantasy 16.
I will. So Final Fantasy 16 is the 16th entry in the mainline series. It is not sequential. You don't have to play. You don't have to play.
Wrong, Corey. Even at that spot, you're wrong. Oh. It is no. There's 10-2. There's 13-2. There's 13-3. There's even in the main line, it's at least number 21.
Do you know what all those 10 twos, 13 twos, 13 threes have in front of them? 10 and 13.
Shut your mouth.
The 16th main line entry. You do not have to play any of the previous, however many ahead. To know the only common ideas that this game shares with any of the others is that the icons / gods / deities, wherever you want to call them, in Final Fantasy 16 are the same as they are in pretty much all the other games. I do think some differentiate, but it brings back a host of the core cast of their deities, which are known as icons in this game.
Yeah.
Not I-C-O-N-S, it's E-I-K-O-N-S.
Yeah. And these are your, like, these are the summons or the aeons. Yes. Like, if you come from Final Fantasy X, they're called aeons there. They're different things depending on where they come from. But yeah, they're some of your, like, you'll recognize them immediately if you've played Final Fantasy. Yeah.
But Final Fantasy 16 follows the story of Clive Rossfield. I don't know. Now I'm questioning myself. And
maybe you haven't played more than I have.
It follows his journey through stages of his life. And so the game opens up and there's this big prologue where essentially you're playing as modern day Clive and he's having a little bit of flashback of how did I get here? Like record scratch. I bet you're wondering how I got here. That's not actually what happens, but it's kind of how it follows, where you see young Clive's like upbringing, where there's this full tutorial where it teaches you how to play the game and kind of the inciting event of this game. And I will say right now, if you are contemplating, should I play Final Fantasy 16 and you have not yet, cut this podcast off, download the demo on PS5 and just play the demo, because I know it's the prologue, because the prologue 100% shows you this is the kind of game this is going to be. Buckle up, because it's a wild ride, because how it ends had my jaw on the ground, Chris. I could not believe what I was seeing. One, from a visual gameplay perspective, I'm like, this is effing bonkers. Without spoiling much other than what they've shown in the marketing material, the big portion of this game is there are icon battles where you play as one of these summons, icons, gods, like their avatar, and you go toe-to-toe with another one. And it's electrifying combat. It isn't like some like slow pace, like, oh, swing, swing. It is like a full, like, fast pace. You're dodging, you're parrying, you're putting together combos. You're like planning out like your strikes, having to move around the battlefield. And there is an icon fight in this opening, and literally I was stunned by it, Chris. I was like, whatever you are doing Final Fantasy 16, I am here for it, because, oh my God, I can't believe it. So yeah, that was just the opening bit, and that's what Final Fantasy 16 is. It is a transition to real-time combat, where it's kind of button mashing-y, but also really not at the same time. If you want to be good at it, they brought in the Devil May Cry 5 combat director in for this game, and you can really like see that showiness in how they do their fighting. And it's predominantly where I would say a lot of Final Fantasies are full RPGs, and there's lots of side quests, side stories, main stories. This is very much a narrative main story focus. There are side quests, but I would say they're not super fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And the game primarily cares about its A plot and its combat, and both are absolutely exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, outstandingly good.
Yeah. Before I dive in on my thoughts on Final Fantasy 16, Corey, would you like to take a round guess at, I say round because it seems like there's some debate, but how many Final Fantasy games, including spinoffs, including sequels, do you think exist?
35.
Wrong, Corey. So wrong. Close to about 100. yeah, different lists say different things, but which granted, I mean, includes like there's some mobile games. There's some of that stuff, but like whenever you include stuff like the Crystal Chronicles games and the Chocobo Mystery Dungeon stuff, man. And like, but yeah, a lot of Final Fantasy out there in the world, everybody. 16, not number 16, more like 116. Am I right? No. But yeah, Final Fantasy 16. I like it. Legitimately, yeah. That's. You texted me saying that like your jaw had dropped at this moment. I had not gotten there yet, but I immediately knew what you were talking about when it happened. Not just that moment in particular, but like the entire sequence of that entire like chapter of what was happening, like, was just massive. And it was, and you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, just given the like general vibe of, I think, what they've put out about Final Fantasy 16, but like, feels, you know, they really solidify themselves very early on as having like some Game of Thrones energy about them.
Massive, like, Game of Thrones energy.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it comes out and it's like, yeah, you see like this dude, just, you see a chocobo just like taking it. Like,
yep.
Big old axe right in the side. Never seen that before. Nope. Like, don't know why. I've seen.
Isn't your dad's Final Fantasy?
Right. I mean, I've seen plenty of things where it's like it's somebody like ripping the head off of a horse. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't anybody done that to a chocobo before? I don't know. But they've just been so pure and innocent in our minds. Not anymore. They're they're here along for the ride at this point.
Blood,
I guess.
And guts. They say they drop so many F-bombs.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like, well, and so my general feelings about it so far, I've played less than you have, but I'm at the point, I feel like, where things are starting to begin to open up. Like, it does start out, you're limited. It's an action game, mm-hmm. but you're limited in what you're like able to do, and that gradually expands. I'm at a part where it's starting to expand and you're starting to see more of that. From some of the traditional Final Fantasy touch points that I feel like are so meaningful, like music, emotional, like resonance to the music, story, it is hitting on all of those levels. Like legitimately, there are some, like, you know, there's a boss quote unquote battle early on whenever you're playing in this early like flashback for Clive. And it's just like the music's swelling and you're seeing these characters move and you're hearing them like talking to each other. And it is so hype. Like you're just sitting there and you're like, yes, go get it. Like you're so into this. And like, and that is the feeling that I feel like Final Fantasy just gets. Cause I mean, you play Final Fantasy VII, those themes, they're going to hit. Final Fantasy X, those themes are going to hit. Like, and there's potentially less resonance because it is in that, like, it's a turn-based thing. You're just standing there, you're pressing A, you're just, you know, they're just attacking, they're doing their thing. But in this, it feels like this really true realization where you are like, you are in it. This music's swelling and you're going. And then also from like a story perspective, I mean, I don't know how it pays off, obviously, but like so far, very invested. Yeah. Like, you know, it's I feel like a comparison somewhat, you know, Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins, Strangers of Paradise came out last year. Mm-hmm. Didn't play a ton of it, but I played a little bit of it. And like as a game, it played fine. Like there wasn't anything wrong with the way that it played, but it was like, it was offensively bad on like voice acting and like the story front. Like I was not interested. I was not compelled to learn more about any of what was happening here. And with Final Fantasy 16, it's the complete opposite. Like I'm in it. I'm like, I want to know. Like,
yeah,
Clive's a little bit of a potato. Like, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Like, you know, he don't got a lot of seasoning to him. He's a little bland, which, I mean, to his credit, most Final Fantasy protagonists, like main protagonists are. Look at Tidus. Look at Vaughn from Final Fantasy 12. Look at Cloud. God, look at Cloud.
Yeah.
Arguably the biggest potato is Cloud. But do you know who is not? They're supporting cast. You look at for every Vaughn in Final Fantasy 12, there's a Balthier. For every Tidus in Final Fantasy 10, there's a Waka.
Yep.
For every Cloud, there's a Barret.
Yeah.
There's a Red 13. There are plenty of other characters. There's a Tifa. And that's the thing is like playing this so far, Clive is, now I will say, Clive in his flashback, I was much more like him as a kid. And I guess it's just, it's potentially some trauma. He's gone through some stuff.
A lot of trauma, a lot of stuff.
When he's a kid, he's more interesting. I feel like he's got more kind of going on. But I mean, in general, like also who isn't? Who isn't interesting whenever they're a kid? But like, you know, the supporting cast is, you know, Sid. Sid shows up pretty early on.
He has a role.
He's got a pretty like dope kind of vibe going on. Yeah.
It's so sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and that's the thing. There's so much in it that like, maybe it doesn't resonate with some people, but like I'm feeling it. I'm in it. And I'm like, I want to know what's going to happen next. I'm into this. I'm down. The thing that does bug me, it doesn't bug me in the sense that it's like, there's much wrong with it. It's just, it bugs me in the sense of like, why is it even here? Is that like, you mentioned it, but like, it is not an RPG. Like,
no,
it is. And I feel like that is probably like the potentially the biggest misgiving stepping into a mainline Final Fantasy game, is that like, you know, like if you've played Final Fantasy games, you know kind of what to expect from a Final Fantasy game, in it being like, okay, they're going to be like, I'm going to be casting these spells and I'm going to get to upgrade my equipment. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to have these ability spheres and like whatever. And like, yes, you are like, you are buying more equipment or crafting new equipment. There is like an ability grid type thing, mm-hmm. but it feels very underutilized. Like it feels very much like we have to do this because it's on our bullet point list of things that we have to include, but it doesn't, at least at my point, it doesn't feel like it's very, like there's much there. It doesn't feel like, you know, every couple of missions, I go back to the, to like kind of your, to a central city thing. And it's like, now I buy a weapon that has like five more attack and maybe mm-hmm. I can upgrade a little further. And every little while I'll have enough ability points to make this ability hit a little harder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's kind of it. And you know, you get levels up, but you don't learn new things. Your numbers are just kind of going a little higher, I guess. But relative to what, you know, I don't know. Like it's that kind of thing. Like it's a little, it feels like it's there because that's what Final Fantasy is supposed to be, not mm-hmm. what this game is. And what this game is a like dope-ass action game. Mm-hmm. Like it is a, like if you compared it to something like a Devil May Cry or something like that, fits very much in that vein, like very stylish, very cool, very just like, you're getting into it and you're like, yeah, combos, let's go. Let me do this thing. Let me like use these powers, do all this kind of stuff. But it's not an RPG. And like, and I think that there's like, and I'm going to be curious how people feel about that long term. Mm-hmm. Because like, on the one hand, Final Fantasy has been trending this direction for 15 years. I mean, yep. Final Fantasy 13 was a turn-based RPG, had a lot of RPG stuff, but was shifting more toward like active combat. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 15 got rid of it pretty much completely, but like they got rid of the turn-based stuff, but stripped back on a number of the RPG elements. And you know, now they're transitioning into, well, now it's full on action. And so like, it's not like they're all of a sudden doing this, you know, they've kind of been on this trajectory. The last, like, I mean, arguably like the last like bread and butter cookie cutter Final Fantasy, like turn-based RPG was Final Fantasy X 20 years ago. Like, you know, Final Fantasy 12 played differently and Final Fantasy 13 played differently. And like, you know, what we've come to expect is that Final Fantasy is just like, they're evolving, they're growing, yeah. they're changing. And so I'm interested in seeing like what the general consensus is going to be, because like, for me, honestly, like I am enjoying Final Fantasy 16 at this point more than I feel like I did Final Fantasy 15. And I feel like it's because Final Fantasy 15, like, enjoyed. I platinumed. I played it a lot. Mm-hmm. But it was dissatisfying because it felt like it wasn't doing anything well. Like, the story was broken up and nonsensical. The combat was good, but it wasn't like super well fleshed out. The RPG stuff was there, but it was stripped back, so it wasn't great. In Final Fantasy 16, it feels like, okay, yeah, maybe it's a bummer that you can't like dig into your abilities more, that you can't do these things. And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's more stuff later on. But like, the story's hitting it, and the action is hitting it. Like, that they're doing the stuff they want to be doing really, really well. And so I would much rather that be the case than it be something like Final Fantasy 15, where it's like an identity crisis, where they're just like trying to be all things at once and not doing anything well. So
no, I Let's see, because I am a fair bit ahead of you based on where you told me you were earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like a good bit. So I'm, that's not a flex.
I've played the game through three times.
It's not a flex. But more of a, okay, I do first. The score, like you said, is outstanding. It fully encapsulates the Final Fantasy feeling that I've played through any game at any point where it's just like that soothing background, like music in whatever your main base is, or as you're traveling, it encapsulates it so well. I love this score. But to, I guess, talk a little bit on those RPG complaints, where I'm at now, I'm going to say, I wouldn't expect to have your socks blown off by a lot of changes. I would say Clive does get a bit spicier. You know, okay. You're approaching kind of a moment where it's like he comes a little bit more into his own, I would say.
Okay.
And then from the RPG element, it doesn't, I mean, the game pretty much like offers you sword and equipment scaling based on the story. I saw somewhere like there is like an ultimate sword you can craft by like doing a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, okay, I might look into doing that and see what that's about, because who doesn't love a cool sword? But from like the ability standpoint and all that, it's about what it is. But part of Clive's thing, without getting too deep into it, is that he can use other icons, some of their like abilities throughout the game. Mm-hmm. He's shown plenty out through the marketing that he is able, won't tell you how, but like he can do some of it. And with that, you can essentially create different loadouts, because each of those ability wheels offers like six different primary, like additional functional attacks or like big attacks. And you can kind of do a ranged build or like a tank idea of a build, so on and so forth. So like there's one where I essentially set up this thing where every time I hit it, any enemy within like its sphere takes damage, or anytime they try to hit me, they take damage. But I can also create this like cloak of flames that anytime I'm in someone's like area that they're taking damage. And so I am stacking these two things on top of each other in like this big AoE effect and melting everyone's HP and stagger meter like butter through it. And like that is a combo that I have of like, okay, here, here, and I just level everything. And there's a couple other things like that where it's like, okay, I can really decide how I want to play this, because one of them is like a very ranged like set of skill sets. I'm like, okay, I can really lean in to this like magic and this ranged weaponry and like kind of just like shoot from afar, stay out of like the thick of things, or I can really get in there and like get my teeth to the ground and lay the pain. I wouldn't say it's super expansive, but like if you actually just sit and like read some of the stuff that it's offering, you're like, okay, no, I can like combine two, even three of these together and absolutely like create these incredible combos and these like really fun ideas. And it's very intentional, like how I think they have a lot of these things set. So I would expect a bit more, but not a ton more on that RPG side. And I do think it is a bit disappointing that there isn't more there. And I hope for the next one that they, I guess, re-beef that part of it up. But like you said, a game that is nailing the story so well. I'm probably in Act 2 right now, I would say. And nailing its combat so well, both so far into this game that's offering so much new every time like I'm doing something. And it fully captures my attention. I love it so much, and I would rather have that than a half-assed game where a little bit of everything's kind of okay. So all that's to say, Final Fantasy 16 is outstanding, in my opinion. Could it have been better in some spots? Sure. Am I missing them a little bit? Do I mind compared to how good the other things are? No, I do not.
Yeah. 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 So it is, I don't know. It is a weird thing, just like, especially coming from such a long standing history with Final Fantasy, mm-hmm. but it is, I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where Final Fantasy is so, we, again, like, this is Final Fantasy 16. Final Fantasy 12 came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and one of those Final Fantasies that has come out since is just a big old MMO that's yeah. still just kind of going on. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, like, I think I'm so used to Final Fantasy just like not being present in my life
yeah.
that I would rather it just be good. Yep. And plus, I mean, and that's the thing is like, I love a good, like, traditional JRPG, but there are so many good ones nowadays. We had Octopath Traveler came out. Coming back to it, I'm going to go back to Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
Two later this year. Once I can find the time. Dragon Quest, always a good one. Persona's, you know, filling that void. Like, you know,
Yakuza, let like Final a dragon. Fantasy. That's one of the best, like, yeah. JRPGs I have yeah. played.
Yeah. I mean, let Final Fantasy run wild with it and mm-hmm. do their whole thing. Because, like, you know, it's not like we're hurting. I mean, like, back in the day, yeah, it was. It was like, we was only really had... Right, we've really only had Final Fantasy. Like, I mean, you had other stuff. Like, in retrospect, there were a lot of JRPGs coming out that I did not know about, whether it was like the East games or the Terranigma, or like, I think I'm making stuff up at this point, but like, you know, I mean, you had Star Ocean. Yep. You had Dragon Quest games mm-hmm. that were coming out. Like, you had plenty of these things that like other people were playing that I just wasn't super aware of. But like Final Fantasy was the big one.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I mean, there's plenty of stuff out. There's plenty, you know, there are really cool indie games. I mean, we played Chained Echoes
yeah.
last year that had a lot of that DNA. And, you know, so I am into just good Final Fantasy. And I mean, it's also the same thing. Like, I haven't played Final Fantasy VII Remake, but like, I was not offended by the fact that Final Fantasy VII Remake went more action focused. Like,
that has plenty of RPG elements though. Like,
100%. Yeah, it does. And I think that's where some of the arguments coming from recently is like, well, Remake had RPG yeah. elements. Why doesn't 16? And like, yeah, which is totally valid. But, you know, I would much rather it be really good music, really good story, and just like a fun game to play than just like a really boring ass traditional JRPG. Like, yep. you know.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it fully has a soul of a Final Fantasy game. Like, the fact that there's this giant knight that flies on top of this castle, looks down, and is like, I've come to kill all of you. And just like leaps down. I'm like, this is peak Final Fantasy. Like, this giant yep. knight with this huge lance. It fully has the soul of it, but it is shockingly mature as well compared to, sorry, I'm just like, I need to talk more about this compared to like previous ones, which are yep. so like lighthearted, if not with some like darker elements. You know, Final Fantasy VII, like, we're eco-terrorists. That's what they call themselves. And this is a game where it is very, like we say, very Game of Thrones, very raunchy, like full-on characters doing it, and very dark in its world state of how they essentially, like, people who are born with magic are enslaved and like are looked down upon and are second class citizens and XYZ, and you're just like, this is a game like it's, like I said, very mature, and it's a shocking like transition for the series, I think, as well. I mean, 15 I was get pretty dark at times, but at the core of it, it was a bachelor party for the first, 10, 15 hours. And then it kind of dives into its issues. And then this one is just out the gate, like no hold bars. This is what this game is. And it continues to be that. And I think I'm 20 hours in at this point.
Okay.
Wow. I'm so
okay. Bored.
I might not be that far. I can't be that far.
It's hard to know at this point, Corey. I feel like with how quickly you put, because I think you put 90 hours into Crusader Kings 3 in 2 days. So, I mean, but anything's possible.
I had just had surgery for that one. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knows? I'm a good ways.
For all we know, Corey, you took out short-term disability to play Final Fantasy 16. I don't know.
I don't know what I did either. It's so good. I just have not been able to put it down because of how good it is. And every single main story has me so connected to the characters in there. They feel so alive. And also you are heart torn if they're taken away from you, and you're just no spoilers. My favorite character is Gav. He's this go-hearted, lucky friend that works for Cid. And I'm Gav, I would do anything for you. I don't think you understand how much I love you, Gav. Or Goats. He's thebomb.com.
Okay.
And just, you've met Goats. He's the guy that's
with Cid. Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Have I met Goats?
Yeah, he's with Cid when you first time you meet Cid. And he helps carry your friend back.
Oh, Yeah.
And I think it's, I don't want to say more because we're getting into story spoilers if I start saying more, but all around.
We'll have a spoiler cast.
We have to have a spoiler cast. We have to have a spoiler cast just with how that prologue ends.
I agree. Yeah. I'm excited to dig in more. I mean, at this point, we've only played a little bit and we still have, you've played a lot of bits, but we still have more to go.
It's a very long, not very long, because Final Fantasy games are 70 hours as a JRPG, but for a action game of this style, it is a long game, because I've read it's 35, 40 hour main story. And I'm it's a small window for Final Fantasy, but that is a beefy game, I think, in today's standard, where Jedi Survivor, I think, was 15 hours at the end of it. And I'm pretty sure if you just main storylined it, it's probably 10. God of War Ragnarok, I think, kind of branched out and it was around that 60 hour mark. It was a very beefy main story, but 2018's was 12, Spider-Man's 20. Last of Us Part 2, I think, sits around the 25 mark. I'm naming just a lot of PlayStation exclusives right now, which Final Fantasy 16 is for the moment, but for 35 to 40 hours feels pretty beefy for the style. I'm not mad about it at the moment.
Yeah. Main story, there's not a lot of data, but main story puts it 28 and a half, main and extra about 43, which is about on par with Final Fantasy VII Remake, which was 33 mainline and about 41 and a half for main and extras.
I've seen around 35, just my own research. I will say it is now being in Act Two, the game really opens up. And it feels so odd to be that far in and the game's now I'll give you a mount, if that makes now you can hop on a chocobo. I'm whoa, I didn't realize this was really gonna be in the game, kind of a thing. And
okay.
Maps get significantly larger. I'm just this is kind of odd to we went from pretty long but very like narrow maps to, no, this is almost like Dragon Quest, like Inquisition level, like areas where I'm just like,
yeah,
whoa. And if you don't mind it, but I was just like kind of taking it back. I'm like, it's taken this long for them to like fully take, I guess, like the parking brake off. They're like, no, you can fully go now. Have fun. Do your thing. And yeah, it's just, I love this game. It's so good.
Interesting. I'm loving it. Yeah. Can't wait to talk about it more, Corey. Excited about it. Probably next week. We'll have a little bit more about it.
I might be done next week.
What? No way.
Just at the pace I'm at. Who knows, man? Who knows?
No way. I don't believe it. Corey, we're running long. Tell me a little bit. You've been playing some Zelda 2.
Yeah.
I've been playing Zelda 2.
Let's get some Kingdom Hearts in. I am working through the last regional phenomenon. I saved the Zora domain for last because that was the first one I did in Breath of the Wild. So doing that, it was kind of funny. They're part of the puzzle. Is I don't want to spoil it, but I thought I did it right, and I kind of like landed. I'm looking. I'm like, well, what did I do wrong? I don't think I thought I did the thing. And I went back up, did the exact same thing again, thinking like the game just didn't read it. And I land again. I'm like, okay, what am I missing? And I went back up there, and I'm just staring at this thing. That I'm like, okay, I know. Like I thought I knew what I'm supposed to do. It took me way too long to figure out, kind of a thing. But I'm working my way through the water dungeon now, water temple.
Look at you.
It's still so good.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite literally might be like the best designed game I've ever played. Is it my favorite game? Probably not. I don't know. We'll see where I'm at the end. I did pull.
It's got to be something for you to question it for a second.
I did get the Master Sword. And that is one of the greatest gaming experiences I think I've had. Like moments was.
Okay.
I was one just changed as a person with how that story line goes. When I did that, it was awe-inspiring for me because it was my first real Master Sword pull. And I was like, that was incredible. Oh my God, that was amazing. Kind of a moment. And
yeah,
it's wonderful. It's so great to have that thing.
We're going to have to talk about once I get, because I haven't done all of the tiers yet, but I did get the Master Sword, and I have been.
How did you get the Master Sword if you haven't done all the tiers?
What
do you mean?
I got the Master Sword. I haven't done all the tiers. That's what I just said, Corey.
How?
I said what I said. What do you mean, how?
You didn't do all the geoglyphs?
Not yet. I have like four left.
Like the big like things where there's like the pool?
I have like four left. What are you talking about? Yes, I do. But I don't know. We'll talk about it.
I don't think you're supposed to have that. We'll talk about
it somewhere else. I don't think you do. I mean,
because it didn't unlock for me until I did them all.
Maybe it just, I mean, could be, maybe it gave you like a quest. Did it give you like a quest or a directive to go find the Master Sword? Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was then. Because like for me, I just went to, I mean, I don't feel like it's much of a spoiler because it's also kind of where it was in Breath of the Wild, but like I went to the Lost Woods and was then told like, this is where it is. And so, yeah,
interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I went to the Lost Woods and they were like, hey, you need the Master Sword. looks like the Master Sword's right here. And I went to go get it. But I say all that to say, Corey, I don't need you doubting me.
I do doubt you.
I need to tell you something. I say all that to say, like, I've been suspicious. Like, I'm not playing, I'm not going to, like, hint toward anything. Just
at the I know what you're talking about.
Telling anybody. I've been suspicious of where, like, that storyline is going, like what the tears are telling, like what's happening. I think whenever it's kind of like Chekhov's gun, like whenever I heard what I heard mentioned, I was like, I know what's happening now. And then that effectively confirmed that for me. Mm-hmm. I just haven't actually witnessed it.
Interesting.
Because whenever I got the Master Sword, I was looking at it and I was like, where that Master Sword was planted, I was looking at it and I was like, I know what this is and I know where this is going, I think. We'll talk about it once I actually have, and we can have like a spoilery discussion. I have the Master Sword, believe it or not. Whether or not you doubt me,
I kind
of
do.
I have done all four of the regional phenomenon.
Okay, now. Nice.
So, I've done about like 75, 80-ish shrines.
On your way to Ganon?
Not yet. I've like kicked off the quest for like the next step after you do all four. I don't think it's like quite the Ganon or Ganondorf kind of fight, but like that's where I am, but I've just kind of been dinking around and going around and doing stuff because like I want to explore, I want to do all these different things, I want to find like new armor pieces and go find more shrines and do whatever. So I'm doing that. I'm just kind of bebopping around and doing my thing, still enjoying it. Honestly, like I was talking to a buddy last week maybe, and he was like, yeah, you need to finish it up. It's a wild ride. And I was like, honestly, I'm honestly kind of really happy about the fact that Tears of the Kingdom has been out for a month and a half at this point, and I feel like I'm nowhere near done with it. Because like I think there was a fear in my mind that's like, man, it's been 6 years since Breath of the Wild. Like, and I'm going to finish this game up in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was like, that's sad. But the fact that it's like, right, that this game comes out and it's like, I'm playing, like, even with me, who, I mean, obviously I don't fly through games the same way that Corey Thrasher does.
Sorry.
But
to be fair, I'm behind you.
I am playing it and have played a good bit of it and honestly, like I'm probably approaching close to the amount of time that I put into Breath of the Wild. And I still feel like I'm nowhere close to done. So, I mean, it's a beefy game and I'm happy about it.
Same. So. Yeah. I'm very happy. I'm not done with it either. I'm sure I could like just mainline it and go for it, but I've never had the desire to. It's just more of a, okay, now's a good time to like, let's go do this regional phenomenon and I'll like maybe mosey my way over to this other one and get sidetracked so many times that I'm like, oh wait, I was going to go that way, wasn't I? Oh well. And I just find that wonderful that it just like lets you play it at your own pace, meets you wherever you're at. And again, probably the best just pure design of a game ever.
Yeah. That's great. Corey, anything else?
I think that's it for this week.
Yeah, I love it. This has been an episode. It's been a good episode. There's more stuff to talk about that we'll just have to talk about next week, Corey. More Final Fantasy 16, more Zelda. Also, it's happening right now. Not right this second as we're recording, but we're in the midst of it. FTC. V Microsoft, their trial is happening. Huge bombshell came out of that I did not expect. that we can, I mean, just in general, like as this is going on, we can keep unpacking it. But Corey, did you know that a lot of why Microsoft bought or wanted to buy Bethesda or did buy Bethesda was because Starfield, they were worried Starfield was going to be a Sony exclusive.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like
crazy.
They're like, instead of
mind blowing,
are you like doing a deal to where it's on ours? We're just going to buy the company. Now they can't.
It's a power move.
It is a power move. And I respect
but it's also like, it's also not out of the realm of possibility given the fact that, legitimately, I mean, all of their games that were coming out were largely placed. I mean, Deathloop, Ghostwire Tokyo, they were all being it's Sony exclusives. Just imagine, had they not bought Bethesda, we could be looking at Starfield. Exclusive.
I don't know what Xbox would be doing though right now with their console, because I would argue Starfield is their like not their launch title for the Xbox Series X, but
basically
it kind of is though.
Yeah. I mean, it honestly, we'll talk about it more, but it like at least reading some of the skim, like some of the things on this, I'm like, you know, honestly, I can, at first, whenever Microsoft was going to trial for this and they were arguing like, basically, let us have this, please, because we are so far behind. Yeah. There was me just being like, man, that's such a BS excuse. The more that I see this, the more I'm like, no, really? Like
you are. Like
we should feel bad for them. This is
throw them a bone. It's okay.
they are in worse place than we thought. So yeah, as that they just finished up day two, end of last week. So they'll be running through that this coming week, and I'm sure we'll have more cool stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Corey, until then, where can people find you on the internet? They want to find you.
People can find me on the internet on Instagram at @SlinginThrasher or over on Twitter at StayThrashy. But more importantly, go and follow our Twitter account, @Arcade_Cozy. I've been posting there a lot more. You'll see I have a type of photo I take of the main protagonist overlooking a incredible landscape. So look forward to more of those. You, Chris, can they find you?
You can find me at 4PointPixel on Instagram. I've been, you know, over the last couple of months, not as active just in social media in general, just because, I mean, who has the time? But, you know, I'm there.
Well, I posted a lot of bread photos today, so.
Yeah, I did see that. That was exciting. Swiss Von Joe on Twitter. I'm also back into playing some Marvel Snap again, Swiss Von Joe. Mm-hmm. So, if you see me coming through, you better get out of the way because it's coming.
The real question is when are we playing Diablo 4?
Next week.
We'll talk about next week.
Next week. We've talked about this, Corey. Yes. Don't bring this up in mixed company.
Sorry.
We'll get there. ArcadeCozy@gmail.com for Gmails and other emails.
For the mouse.
Also, Johnny B. Good, 89, does our music. I'm very excited. Love him to death. Cool guy. But Corey,
leave a comment on our
podcast. Yeah, like and review and comment on this podcast. Share it with your friends, word of mouth or over the internet. Use that, buy up some Google AdWords.
Sure.
And just start a web page and then just put our name on it and then just buy up ad space and just do it. I mean, if you feel so inclined, I maybe shouldn't like tell you to do that, but if you feel so inclined,
if you feel like it,
feel free. But yeah, Corey, until next week, this has been Arcade Cozy.
Life is hectic. Shoot your hobbies be
two. Yay.